Look at that. The rest is just comments and I think that favor y el sitio de la cultura de que de ellos.
Thank you very much, Mr. I think of the city, the main problems, the problems of the city, on our own, and the education community.
So thank you, Mr. President. Vice City, back in the Chairperson, we did that all our public hearings, and what came out of the public hearing contained here. But let me just put it in the context. What we have done with this committee, we decided to repeat some of the negotiating issues that we had during the November, I think the adjustment. We still feel it's relevant. That's why President will notice, Jefferson will notice that some of some of the issues. But I just want to highlight some of the issues that was really picked up by the committee. Treasury was there. The one is the issue on the unfunded mandate. This issue was raised by SAFA very strongly in the field that if this issue is not addressed, they will never catch up in terms of the financial position. And they fight it the one on library, the library function, although the Treasury has indicated to us that it is in the Constitution. But they also mean the other unfunded mandate. So I think it's an issue that we as a key state are really strongly push that unfunded mandate is really weakening the municipality, especially the key states which are very rural. And some of them are, if we can put it bluntly, are not financially viable. And if we still then put unfunded mandates on to them, that would be even worse. Then the other issue that came out is the issue that on the water and sanitation grounds, we noted that some of them were taken away from the system. And we understand that it is not the municipality itself, it's the inability of the Department of Water Affairs to use these funds. But the point that we want to make is that because of the ruralness of these municipalities, that any little development that is coming that way, it is very important for these municipalities because it creates jobs, it creates a multiplying effect in terms of the economy and things like that. So we want the Treasury to really look at it before just taking it away, rather than move it to somewhere else in the province where they can be used effectively because of the limited economic base of these rural municipalities, especially in our far flung rural areas like Khalid and I think even the Dabi has also got some. Chairperson, I'm not going to go through the whole list, but those are the main issues that I think we need to look at. And we strongly also push that the current equitable share needs to be renewed. I know it's been adjusted not too long ago, I think, but things change. Economically and poverty is catching up with us. And if you don't look at the you're not going to be get ahead of the in terms of the thank you
thank you very much Honorable Mayor. There's an unwritten rule here that provincial delegates when they are in attendance I can allow them to withdraw to the application. So thanks very much for covering all the issues. And then we'll go to Gauteng.
Thanks, Chair. Included in the report of the negotiating mandate is the process that was followed by the Gauteng legislature. We did have public hearings during what was our recess period. We've noticed the changes and how they will affect the what will happen in the province. but notes that the changes to the appropriations will not necessarily hamper service delivery in the province. There are issues also that we have raised consistently. One is the reliability and the validity of the data, which determines the provincial, which determines the equitable share. And I think, well, it depends which province you come from, how you will argue it. Poorer versus population. So ours, we are saying that KZN or that Gauteng is the most densely populated province, and the equitable share should reflect such. And then the other comments that we make is that Treasury must maintain a delicate balance between the government debt as a percentage of the GDP and fiscal policy targets without compromising service yield. So while that is definitely taken care of now, but going forward as the debt increases, the debt rises, that we don't compromise service delivery. Having said that, Chair Gauteng negotiates in favor of the board. Thanks.
Thanks, Honourable Madam. Can we proceed to KwaZulu-Natal province, Honourable Mando?
Thank you, Chair. And having communicated with the Chair this morning, the full committee, Honourable KK, could make it. Chair, we negotiate in favor against the fact of our paper today is just a sketch of the sketch of the days and what happened in processing the decision that is communicated today to vote in favor. And it is against the backdrop, Chair, not that I think we're pretty much in line in terms of if I recall as I participated in the proceedings of the portfolio committee, you know, the debate around the issues of equitable shares and like other provinces. And, you know, against the backdrop, Chair, where we, against the backdrop of us noting that, you know, we do participate in the budget council, the issues there. Our treasury and the national treasury, they are in constant touch with the working relationship. So some of the issues that we may have wanted to raise here are issues that are already in the framework of the framework of engagement as such between the stakeholders that sit in the budget council. I think it's important to me that the background of this. We took this sort of not raising a lot of issues within our submission. So in conclusion, we even not raising the issues of the procedure, we're still hoping that the committee has the select committee as it has we will look at you know the issues of the procedure, and that we will always speak to them. So just to address those highlights which are outside the formal submission that's part of the issue we're looked at, but the final conclusion is as we check that we vote in favor, we negotiate in favor of the application. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mandu. Proceed to the Limpopo province, Honorable Masibula.
Thank you very much, Chair. The Limpopo supports the DSG, the recommendation on page 3.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. I think the Honourable Member is very succinct that we refer to the page, the commendation on the documentation. Thank you very much for that. And then we'll proceed to Mpumalanga, the province of Honorable Sir.
Sir President, thank you for the opportunity. I want to just point out, Sir President, the exercise was indeed not only enlightening but very successful indeed. I can also confirm that public hearings were held and that specifically the committee noted, as per the report that is attached, that the bucket eradication program did come to an end in 2016-17 financial year. But of course, due to the advent of informal settlements continuously coming up, it remains a challenge, and we pointed that out, and the bucket eradication system is just but an ongoing program in the province, unfortunately, to the informal settlements that is an ongoing issue. They have also taken cognizance of the presentation that I did together with National Treasury, where we pointed out overall that the 8% spent on the maintenance of assets must be taken into cognizance instead of just continuously always just depleting buying new assets. That a minimum of 8% of the budget allocated must be spent on the maintenance of assets. And on the whole, Chairperson, the public hearings were conducted pretty transparently, and the province votes for the mandate as tabled. And I just want to, in conclusion, just to mention, I think the foresight of this, but specifically in my case, I want to point out in conclusion that we owe our gratitude and thanks, of course, for PLO here in Parliament, patience this year, for very successful coordination of the program year in and year out, and on behalf of Mpumalanga, I want to, in this community, state our heartfelt thanks to you, patients. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, that's an indication that you got acquired very well for the community. And thank you very much for your report. In fact, the report is quite elaborate about the range of issues. And these are issues not easy, complex, but I think we appreciate it in future. And I think I'll come to that at the end, because all of these are referred to National Treasury for us. Can we proceed to Northern Cape?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Just press from the oven on the table. Northern Cape supports the bulk. There were five public hearings held over the province. On page 2.3 is the input from the stakeholders that came out in the public hearings. Matters have mentioned. Some of these appeared also in the mandates we had in October, November, on the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. Some of them are not new, but the equitable share formula doesn't address the vastness of the problems and the challenges. I refer the Portfolio Committee of Finance to interact with the Chair of Finance in the Free State regarding the university study that they made regarding the Free State and relevant points in terms of principle that also apply to the Northern Cape problems. So I hope that will bring up from the Chairperson that is the submission by the Northern Cape and the support.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Can we proceed to Northwest and Honorable
Chair? Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The Northwest Province Jury held its meeting on the 14th of March 2017 and held its public hearings on the 21st of April 2017. And that all these meetings and the issues that were raised on this line from the public hearing of not dwell much into it, but just mention the highlights of issues that were raised today, that the budget allocated to municipalities needs to be monitored by the provincial government in terms of expenditure, that any child learning center should also be given due consideration, the budget the usage of the budget system is still in the practice, and they would want more funding to be allocated with the staff, but the last check at the ground that we felt the province, that press attention should also be given to municipalities that were affected by this drought and the shortage of drinking water. And draw your attention to page 10. And I think I should bring it to the record as requested by the committee that I also bring to the attention of the committee the recommendation, the five recommendations that they want to place on record, and they are there for scrutiny and for everybody to go for it. Number one, and they are very clear and specific, addressing specific issues of the North region, because they are there chapter 10. The Northwest province, what is this?
Thank you very much, Honorable Mr. Sukin. Can we proceed to the last province, the province of the Western Cape, Honorable Mr. Sukin?
Thank you, Chairperson. The Western Cape also followed due process, and the Budget Committee met on the 28th of March, then, and they negotiated in favor of the result. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And I must, from the Chair, I think that there is a qualitative improvement on the leadership demanding for provinces. Provinces will touch on high critical issues and for us to do. And I must thank both members of the committee for bringing out in the provinces, and also for the initial chairs of finance committee, who at the initial stage of the budget implementation form part of the leader, and that enhances by creative at our own provincial committee. So members of the committee have become more attentive to the discussion in the provinces, and not shy to highlight some issues that are not necessarily issues that are complex or called the contradiction at times around what our own resources will be available in those areas and also areas of efficiency. So all of these reports, I believe that the committee secretariat will be forwarded to National Treasury, and I believe when we have already received the document, so I okay, so naturally, we allow Treasury to respond to the considered issues that are necessary, but also it enhances our profile in the bank administration by moving them to some of the information that is contained in the budget and feed the implementation of the budget. So I would like to ask members whether there is any other issues that they want to raise out of this issue. And then, do you agree? Okay. Yeah. Do you agree? Yes. Okay. So you agree with the negotiation mandate? Thank you very much. Okay. Thanks. And then, National Treasury, do you want to make any comment? Oh. Okay.
Thank you. What we would like to do is go through the preliminary remarks of tonight and what's like to do usually after that gives us formal write-up whether it's and if we can take it province by province and go regard to Eastern Cape and the issues raised, some of them are also raised by other problems as well. And some of the things that really comes out of the issue about the funding of disciplined status is one issue that's cross cutting. Another issue that's also cross cutting is the impact of the and then the drunkard eradication is also another issue, and then the quality of the infrastructure, either how old it is or how much maintenance there is. So that is quite a key theme or themes of with regard to the local government issue. So in our responses, we will prepare quite a detailed response on those. And then with regard to the provinces, there's very few issues raised, except that we've always got the tension in the system where rural provinces feel that they're shortchanged because of the vastness, and urban provinces feel that they're also shortchanged given that there's large inward migration. And maybe just on the provincial ethical chair issue, we just announced that as part of the 2017 budget so that we are busy with a release into the provincial ethical chair formula. And we've been working quite closely with national sector departments, particularly the National Department of Health as well as the National Department of Basic Education. And we're also doing work on the, not on ruralness, but how do you deal with rural and urbanness within an equitable share formula, and we do a literature study to compare how other countries are dealing with this anomaly, because if you get into the other one, you need to filter into the other one, and how do you balance the two? That will be very particularly important. And what we would really appreciate during the interview today, if you can give the committee feedback on the work that you've done and also get your input. So when the 2018 NCF allocations are done, that the feedback from the work committee as well as the other graduation committees will be taken into account. It would be very, very useful. So if we can get a possibility of discussion then to take feedback into the work. And it would most probably be quite useful then to also invite the National Department of Basic Education as well as the National Department of Health to also take the question. We're definitely working closely with those departments. And one key issue that's also coming to the fore that's very, very important is that particularly in the Department of Basic Education, in a number of provincial legislatures support the race issue. But why does National Treasury undercount the number of learners that we've got? That would be really counting. But it is an issue that the Department of Basic Education is also acknowledging, that the data system is not necessarily as robust as what it should be. And they currently do quite a number of reforms. They're moving from what they call the SNAP survey to the LURIS system. And in that way, they're going to include quite a lot of refinements and also provide much more information. But of course, it's going to also have its own really challenges to move over. But during the NCPDS, we would like to take it to that as well. So the quality of the data is definitely coming. By the way, I forgot also to say that you should also be invited to that session as well, because from their side, we're also looking at that refinement. So we're doing quite a bit of work on this group. It's the ideas to implement it in a staggered way, since after we've talked about the government. But the concern with regard to that two issues of always pushing the system, the rural and the urban, that is something that's really possible. With regard to the lobbying for the specific issues that's not part of the system, but I want to respect to that all these issues and the related countries in the existing province of Indonesia.
I think there were several comments on the local government's equitable share formula and those allocations. As Wendy mentioned, following the last review of the formula, there was a lengthy phase-in period for the local government for the new equitable share formula. The key point to bear in mind about the new equitable share formula is that it's explicitly pro-rural bias. So for the, it allocates the institutional and community services components are only allocated to rural municipalities. So while basic services funds are provided for all poor households, wealthier municipalities like Johannesburg and Cape Town don't get any funds from the community services and institutional components. Those are only allocated to poorer municipalities. The changes that came about as a result of that and the updating of data after a 10-year window between the 2001 and 2011 censuses meant that there were very big changes in municipal allocations as a result of the new formula. And so we phased it in over a 5-year period. So it feels like a long time ago that we announced the new formula, but that 5-year phase-in period only actually ends this year. So 2017-18 is the first time actually that equitable share allocations are fully determined through the new formula. So it's the first time that we actually see only the impact of the new formula. And so what we're undertaking this year is an exercise to examine what the impact is on those municipality budgets, looking particularly at rural municipalities. Now that the impact of the formula has been fully phased in, what is the impact on those municipality budgets and how are they using those funds? And we'll then, so that's a kind of an assessment of the impact of the new formula. That we're conducting. There were also, there was in the recommendations from the photo, there was also an interesting point on the equitable share, and two recommendations that were kind of similar, both about how the equitable share funds are used in municipalities, and I think there were also some provincial recommendations that touched on this as well. In our response, we point out, of course, that the equitable shares are unconditional in terms of the constitution, so we can't use the DORA to set rules about how the equitable share is used, but we do provide guidelines, and we do in fact say, particularly on the local government side, we say that if a municipality chooses to fund fee basic services for fewer households than what is provided for in the formula, and we provide the links on where the information is on how many households are funded in each municipality. If a municipality chooses to provide for fewer households, and then they are meant to state in their budget documents why they've made that choice and how they've consulted their community on that as well. So there should be that kind of chain of accountability that is established so that the municipality can explain that. And then there were also a couple of recommendations that related in a municipal context to maintenance. And this is always a huge issue. Outside of the strict DORA stuff, it is one of the four game changers that National Treasury and Provincial Treasuries have agreed to that we've spoken to previously. So that means that ourselves and Provincial Treasuries will be placing a much greater emphasis on this in our monitoring of municipal budgets, the municipal SOA that is being fully implemented from July 1 this year. Will also assist us to better monitor spending on maintenance. From the DORA side as well, we are also doing some work on how the infrastructure grants can be used to reward and incentivize good practices in maintenance. So we've already changed the rules in the MIG to allow funds to be spent on refurbishment, and we would like to make those conditional on good practices in maintenance so that there is a reward in the system for those municipalities that do the right thing. And on bucket eradication, sorry, thanks, Wendy. On bucket eradication, Mr. Malanga is quite right that the bucket eradication grant has ended. I must just clarify that the bucket eradication grant only ever funded the catching up of the installation of sanitation infrastructure in formal residential areas. So it was, the way the system is meant to work, right, is that houses shouldn't be built separate from basic services. So what happened was there was a whole expansion of housing opportunities in places where the municipal services weren't provided. There was a kind of a failure of coordination in the human settlement sector there, and this grant is, was established to kind of catch up on that. Most of the problems were in the Free State and the Northern Cape and the Northwest. There are still some outstanding projects on those, and those will be funded through the water and sanitation grant, partly because they're bulk things. The cases you're referring to are around informal settlements, where there are still bucket systems used, and that needs to be dealt with as part of the broader informal settlement upgrading, funded through the Human Settlements Development Grant, Municipal Infrastructure Grant, and in metros, the Urban Settlements Development Grant, because again, there's no point providing sanitation, but not water, or not electricity, or roads, etc., so it's part of an integrated package. And the district municipalities, there is a significant change in this year's Division of Revenue Bill on the funding of district municipalities to assist the poorest district municipalities. So we've identified the poorest 13 district municipalities in terms of the RSC levies replacement grant allocations that they receive. So the RSC levies were an own revenue source that districts used to collect. After that, was cancelled as a tax. There is a replacement grant that funds them at the levels that they used to collect the tax. But obviously that system replicates the kind of inequities in the old tax instrument. So a district like the RIP in the Free State, or actually the Western Cape Central Peru District Municipality, the poorest in the country, only gets 6 million rand from that allocation, whereas you have some of the wealthier districts in the country that are collecting, that are getting 300 million rand from that same grant. And so what we've done is we've slowed the growth rate in those municipalities that are getting upwards of 180 million a year from this grant. And we are using that fund to redistribute to those that are getting less than 40 million a year. And so there's a little bit of pain in some of the wealthier parts of the country in order to assist the poorer part. But I mean, we always like to emphasize that really this is just a kind of a stopgap to assist those districts now. We need a new funding model for district municipalities. We've always said this, but it only makes sense to introduce a new funding model when there is clarity on the functions of those district municipalities and the future functional role. And we're pleased to report that the Department of Cooperative Governance is undertaking a review on the sustainable district governance. I forget the title of the review, but it is underway. Thank you, Chair.
Can you touch on issues that fall outside broad issues that we've discussed? Very difficult to start with the Eastern Cape. I mean, basically three things that we should deal with. And the one is the recommendation that, the grant has been taken for the building of dams used to be drought. That is something that we need to take up with the National Department of Sanitation, and then we fall within the competence of the National Government. It doesn't fall within the competence of the municipality. So this is something most probably what could be recommended is that during the recommendations this issue is taken up and given to the Minister of Water and Sanitation to give consideration to, because it's not really a division of revenue issue. It's outside of the stipulation which is used to consider. The reduction to reduce the allocations to which we will deal with. And then the last one is a bit of a concern. The concern is becoming bigger to some extent. Especially where the concern comes is the houses that's built or the RTC houses that's built don't make the standards. That is the first area of concern, because the houses should be built up to standards and it should meet certain conditions. And then the second concern is that the problems are when not 16 years, but when disability is not 16 years. And that's another concern. So it is something that, we've taken up with the National Department of Human Settlement,
sometimes some reductions in the equitable share or MIG allocation to a merged municipality because they previously would have received two institutional allocations to the two municipalities, with now they're only one municipality, so they receive one allocation from that, which really reflects the ways in which the fiscal framework is biased in favour of small municipalities. So now that they're a larger municipality, it's kind of less biased in their favour. But we do allocate, it was in last year, it was just under 300 million rand through the municipal demarcation transition grant to support municipalities in the transitional cost. So where there is a merger and there's about 50 million rand allocated this year through that grant as well. So that supports that transition. We also phase in the impact of any changes as well. So there is in all of the merged municipalities, there is that funding to support them with the additional costs imposed through the merger process.
Then with regard to the Free State and the issue of being dealt with, then maybe just something else that I think would be quite useful to look at, is the issue about the grant as well. The first one is got to deal with unfunded mandates, and particularly as it relates to the library, but also other functions. They've actually allocated to provinces where municipalities can perform it. In reality, in fact, it's not that it should be done on an agency basis. I mean, there should be a funding and service delivery agreement between the province and the municipality itself. But we do know that in lots of cases it's not done, and in a lot of cases, even if it's done, that the necessary funding does not need to flow. We've had cases like that in the past, and if it's brought our attention, we can assist the follow-up and try to assist. Then we've got to the issue of drought and the point made by the Honourable Member that you know, we need to take consideration in dealing with the drought issue, whether when the national comes in and do even one go, or the province or the municipality actually deals with the disaster. This caused quite a bit of tension in last year's draft as well, because in a lot of cases, nationals jumped in and they didn't execute work in collaboration sufficiently with the provinces and the municipalities concerned. So it's definitely something that's going forward that we've also raised with the National Disaster Management Centre and the Sector Department responsible. Because what we picked up is, and this is not just a concern for people, this is a concern for all provinces. We do not really deal with drought in the way it should be dealt with. It is something that is also raised at the National Disaster Management Centre. And it looks like there are so many communication loops that just break some. And in the end of the day, what happens is the municipality, the information doesn't go to the provincial disaster management centre, the provincial disaster management centre, and the information goes to the national disaster management centre. And in a lot of cases, that is the problem. A lot of instances, we don't get permission. We don't get permission. We've got the needed disaster relief. This year, I think we've processed one application. So originally when they needed the dark synergies, from what you can say, there's still four positions in there. So there's definitely a bit of a breakdown in that system. But when the special disaster management system is really aware of it, and that's what they only get back to the state to deal with as well. But again, if, you know, if these issues are raised, it's on our radar screen, and you could also see our technical issues to start with. On cutting, the equitable issue is already dealt with. The other issues with the information and the fiscal framework, there's also no issue that specifically be dealt with. Now that I'm so firm, from the number of the bucket eradication as well as the ACP information students are in Delta. And the Northern Cape is the road construction and maintenance grant should increase. And the second recommendation is with the losses is already dealt with. And then with regard to the road construction and maintenance costs, this that's probably what is important to note as well is that from this year, in that grant, we can see the incentive component of food. And therefore, also greatly assist the farming projects in the right thing. To actually increase their funding. If you do the right things, then you need the norms and standards in terms of, you know, having a credible asset register in terms of doing the right type of maintenance property, you actually receive an incentive allocation. So I'm not sure what your intent is to do with the incentive.
The Northern Cape, and we presented this opportunity there as well, the Northern Cape did quite well in the incentives, earning more than their share of the incentives.
So, although it's hard to do well. Then on the northwest side, again, the draft issue was raised, the bucket eradication issue was raised. Then there's two additional issues, the early childhood centers and the importance of that. That's one of the reasons why early childhood development grant was established. And it is a key function that must be performed, so that's not yet achieved if you need a rest of the condition. So there is a conditional grant that we have to access in that regard. And then the bigger issue is the budget allocated to local government and ensuring that the money is correctly spent, and that provincial treasury is to play a very supporting role in quality issues. And one thing that is sort of in a different unit in national treasury, and I think is leading that, but they are working with the provincial treasury to assist them for each province a specific provincial support strategy. We identify the municipalities of the study and giving them support, but also the building of the provincial provincial to do the oversight that they require to do. So there's a two-pronged approach in that. And that could also be something that the committee can focus on as far as the oversight. It actually reveals what the extent the provincial places are really providing the requisite support to the municipalities and what is their own capacity in providing that support. Currently, it's a bit of a mixed bag when it comes to provincial treasuries and provinces are much stronger in giving the requisite support than others. As a mechanism practice. And then there's the six recommendations also from the Northwest. And it all leads to, again, the implementation side rather than the division of business.
Thank you.
thank very much, Treasury. These are initial responses. These are initial responses. The proposal by National Treasury is also that the committee should continue joint meeting, education, health, select committees. So we give the grants so that we deal with in the grants and also invite that person. Of course, we'll extend that to the provincial chairs of finance. And we agree members with the recommendation. And within the period of 17 years, adequate. So that's agreed. And also, just want to put it to you for information. In week of 15 and 19, the NCOP got 3 weeks to the province of the district. One of the part of the district which is visited is the Karib district, which is form part of the 11 municipalities which are under national care. It's the poorest part of the province of the district. So local government is able to share the extent in which the formula is used. So it's of interest as we know our oversight work. Whether or not it's going to be the policy. So I'm saying additional information if you want to consider. Just as a, we need to the policy, we measure the policy success, the extent in which it will desire to now. So we don't measure policy success in both groups. So it will be good to check what is actually happening in those quarters. Is it a problem of capacity among municipal officials, or is the formula using that such design? But just the answer to this is important. No, we're dealing with a very crucial matter in our here. Now, having done so, it means we will welcome, therefore, to consider what we will do with members are invited to move straight to the consideration of the draft minutes. Thank you very much, Treasury. I don't want members to be tempted because you have made initial comments. It means they are not adequate. There are additional information that will be provided for. Thank you very much. You are released. We deal with our minutes. Thank you, dear host. You have provided us with Monday. Don't pay it for final Monday. This was negotiating Monday. We want final Monday without pay. This was 100% presentation. Okay. Thank you. The set of minutes considering here. Thank you, Honorable Neil. Yes, I allow you to table your issues. Thank you very much. That's how democracy works. Thank you. So, what about speak? Honorable Gayla, you normally are a soft-spoken person. You can do that, please, without disappointing. Thank you.
Honourable members, just to refresh your mind, this set of minutes is one of the meetings wherein we had FSC and SAGA hearing before the president and submission from the Honourable President.
Any comment on the minutes? No. Mutara, no comment. But minutes are not treated that way. Not, I recommend that one goes. Whether you are in favor, is it the correct record? Or were you absent? Okay, thank you. There's a proposal that we approve the minutes. Okay.
Today,
but on the minutes. Any correction, Honorable Isaac?
No, sir.
Okay. Honorable Isaac proposes that we approve the minutes.
Agreed.
Now, this minute is proposed. Then, seconded by Honorable Musabibi. What else, Robert?
Thank you, sir.
Honorable Chap?
Chairperson, point of interest.
Point of interest.
Point 5. Okay, page 5. The chairperson informed members that the international study tour was being planned for August 27th and 28th, and research work has been done. And we get the progress report.
Thank you very much for raising that point, on the point of interest. There's a formal meeting tomorrow with the staff, and they are going to take me on board on all processes that have been taken. When we were on constituency tour, they were hard at work, and I think they may have produced qualitative reports, but that will be members' measure. But they are giving me comprehensive report tomorrow, and I bring it back to the committee. Thank you. Honorable Isaac?
No. Question without going to deep into the question, I just want to ask when you're brought on board in due respect that perhaps you just look at, you know, maybe two optional things so that when you give us feedback, you can also, you know, relate to.
Can you propose it?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure, you know, but I was just going with an idea that, you know, to do it, we should try and do it perhaps towards the middle of the month, either, you know, in the middle of August or maybe even the September, but depending on our program, we move it to the middle of the month. So I just ask you to, you know,
okay, let me be advised, maybe for interest of all members, roughly. Are you able to say roughly which date are you looking at? Okay.
I mean,
oh, thank you very much. Yeah, you know, Honorable Isaac said him, I'm not sure and I'm not well. So, you know, when a person is so apologetic, you really need to have me. Because the date is important. Okay, I'm mandated to go and get everything. But it will be during the constituency period as members just want to vote. Okay. Honorable Motara will be there to get
Okay.
Okay. Well,
can we please, as a committee, deal with the details? Once you've been taken yourself to the chair, and then it gets presented to the
What?
Ah, but Chair, also. So, but I can't be hijacked into meetings.
No, there's no hijacking.
But Chair, can we please, as a committee, deal with it when it gets presented to the committee? Because now you're going to get a no, yeah, there are, and we are all speaking as individuals.
Okay. I think the member was honestly just asking that. Two options.
We don't even know what they're doing for the rest of the month. I mean, August is fast.
Okay. So we want it too soon. Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Members. And thank you for your contribution.